Welcome to the Ordinary Christians Podcast. I'm Bob, there's Ron, and then Derek, and we are excited because the first topic is a topic that is interesting to every human being on planet Earth right now. What is it, Ron?
The coronavirus.
Yeah, and listen, because Ron's really got some good insights this time.
Derek's really smart.
I'm just a nice guy who's hosting this. Welcome to our first official Ordinary Christians topic that we're going to talk about. And it is very ordinary to every single person potentially that listens to this podcast. And the topic is, Derek?
The coronavirus.
And it's interesting because we have around this circle some pretty interesting dynamics. There's a guy in our church who's the head of contagious diseases at a big hospital in Chicago. And he's been emailing me every day. In fact, I met with him about a half an hour ago just to give me updates on what's going on. Derek, your wife?
My wife is a nurse. My wife has said that in the case of global pandemic and panic, that nurses and pastors will have the greatest job security.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's right. We are the front lines of anxiety and fear.
So the first question I got for you guys, what do you think makes this pandemic so unusual compared to like 1918 when there's another one when thousands of people died? I'm going to just tip you off with a thought. I think it has to do with social media and the internet.
Yeah, for sure. We have so many people giving their opinions and ideas. It's very unclear who to listen to and not listen to. And so you listen to some people and it's going to be horrible and everyone's going to die, and other people are acting as if it's a hoax. And so I assume it's somewhere in the middle, but all the noise is probably not the most helpful thing right now.
Well, even state and local. So you got a state, we're in Dyer, Indiana. You step out of our parking lot, you're Cook County, Illinois.
Right.
Illinois says you can't gather 1,000, right, guys?
Correct. Right.
Indiana says 250.
Right.
And then you got another state saying 100.
Yeah.
Another one, you know, so that... The federal government hasn't spoken yet with boundaries. What are you going to say, Derek?
I think that some of the difference with this one in particular, I don't know the you know, all the situations related to 1918 or whenever the Spanish flu happened, but I think that one of the things that makes this disease disconcerting is the fact that somebody could be a carrier of it for up to 14 days while being asymptomatic and still, you know, and still infecting other people.
There's a, I'm sorry about the buzz we have. Yeah. Oh, there, oh, it just went away.
Yeah, the bus just went away.
That's the virus. That's the virus.
This is the virus making its way through the microphones.
It is. No, let's go back to what you're saying, Derek.
So I think that what makes this disease a little bit more frightening is the fact that you can be a carrier of it for up to 14 days while being asymptomatic, which means that who knows how many people might be carriers of it right now, how many people might be walking around with it. And I think that that's what makes it more disturbing than something like SARS, which was sudden and acute, so that if you had it, you immediately knew that you had it. You immediately knew that you were going to be able to infect other people. But also, because it was so acute, you weren't able to go out and do anything with that. But the fact that this disease means that you can be walking around with no indication that you have it for up to 2 weeks makes this more frightening to me.
Well, how about the fact that we just talked before that the studies at the most high academic institutions medically are still trying to figure out if this is airborne. If it's airborne, it is going to be way more serious than we've ever imagined, because that means, yeah, if a person coughs on a bus, everybody's been exposed.
The university in China looked at a case that was on a bus of someone they knew was a carrier, and based upon their study, it looks like the virus spread around the bus without him moving or touching or being near people, and that is... That's insane.
That's another level. That's another level, because that's not just wash your hands and
right,
you're going to be okay. There are more considerations.
So we talked about voices, you know, like the voices of media, news, political sides of the aisle. Now, let's go from to the ordinary Christian who's driving the truck, going to the hospital as a nurse, kid maybe even going to college or now online college because they don't go to have college anymore. Let's think... What voice would the Bible say ordinary Christians need to think through? What are scriptures that come to mind? What are theology and deep things of God that we need to be aware of?
Well, I'm looking around for this one.
Well, I've been reflecting a lot about, you know, the church has been in this place before where you have these horrible outbreaks, like in Europe and, you know, the plague and these places where people are suffering and dying. And it was the church that went into the chaos and the mess and served the hurting and the dying. And, you know, in the Reformed tradition, the deacons were born out of this idea of serving the hurting, and hospitals were born out of this idea that we need to care for the least among us. And so I think the first thing that we have to think about as Christians is this is an opportunity to be on mission and to serve those around us. And, you know, we ought to be reasonable and wise, but we need to take that opportunity and see how we can serve our neighbors and our community.
I think that each Christian can respond in a lot of similar ways. I think one of the things that we're called to do at all times and in all places is to trust in God to trust Christ. One of the things that I think that it's important for us to remember is that trusting in God does not mean being unwise. It doesn't mean I trust in God, so I'm going to expose myself to whatever disease or virus, and I'm going to be fine because I'm trusting God. It means that God is sovereign and in control in all of this, and it means that we need not work ourselves, I think, into a panic or overreact, but that through all of it, there's a baseline trusting in God in the fact that he is sovereign even in this. We trust God, so it means that we trust that he makes use of means, and so that there are regular means that we should do, and so that hand washing is something that we should engage in. I think it means that it's, you know, if you are in a vulnerable population, you need to be particularly concerned and careful. I think that self-quarantining, especially for people of a certain age, when you're in that age range where this could be a very, very serious disease, I think that that means be especially careful about going outside. I think that Christians, as they're responding to pandemic, need to care for the sick and for the vulnerable. And so I think that that means that churches need to think about how we can make sure that people in retirement communities or shut-ins within the community are receiving food and making sure that they have all that they need in a way that, that doesn't expose them to the virus. And I think that one of the things that we need to do as Christians in the midst of all of this is not be racist. And I think that one of the things that's breaking my heart has been seeing the way that people have reacted in the United States, specifically to people of Asian descent, to Asian Americans, who are no more likely to be a carrier than you or me, but are avoided socially because of the fact that they are, you know, have a cultural background that is Asian, perhaps not even Chinese, right. But because this is the result of, you know, because Wuhan is the place where...
I speak Mandarin too. I didn't know if you knew that.
I always knew you were brilliant.
This is why we need Ron to be a part of this project.
Ordinarily brilliant, isn't it?
Because of his ordinary brilliance.
Right. You know, so when I think of the biblical reaction to this, I think, first of all, there's a lot of fear. And I think as Christians, we need to fight through fear with what scripture would say. You know, the love of God casts out fear.
Yeah.
And that goes back to your trust question.
Yeah.
I also think we're at a world stage where in our worldview, as ordinary Christians, we are to be witnesses in this. And so there's probably a lot of people that are freaking out, afraid. What about I'm going to die? What if you're over 70 and it becomes epidemic? And we have an opportunity to bring the good news that if by God's sovereign will they were going to die, that we can say, let me tell you about a man named Jesus, that whether you live or you die, you're with the Lord.
Yeah, it's really important that in these moments that are scary, that you build on the right foundation. And the foundation is that God is with us and God loves us. And just like Jesus calmed the storm with his disciples, he calms the storm. He interacts both supernaturally and naturally. But there's also moments that the boat goes down. But God is no less sovereign or good. He promises that he will do right by us, that he will take care of us. And so we don't need to fear because the foundation's strong. He's going to do good for us, whatever happens. And that enables us to be agents of good to those around us. And we ought to be. We should be the least scared people.
Yeah, absolutely. And then go ahead, Derek.
Well,
that.
As Reformed Christians, we should keep in mind too, what's your only comfort in life and in death? That I'm not my own, but I belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And that should be something that Reformed Christians call to mind each day as they're dealing with pandemic and panic all around.
Absolutely. I think we also need to address ordinary Christians should not be cynic, sarcastic. What I mean by that is...
Why did you look at me when you said that?
Because
obvious
reasons. Because the Holy Spirit is convicting
you. This is like an intervention.
Because the Holy Spirit is convicting you, Ron Sillow. No. I think what I mean by that is God has placed government over us. Romans speak of
yes.
It. And if the state of Indiana is saying to Bob Bauer, to the leaders of Faith Church, that you cannot assemble more than 250 people, I think it's our Christian, ordinary Christian responsibility to say, okay, we won't. And then it said, within that, you need to give social space. They suggested 6 feet. I'm literally saying to Faith Church, we're not going to be able to worship this weekend as the assembled body, but in God's sovereign, incredible world, technology will enable people to worship together where two or three are gathered in homes, the Lord is. It's going to be so fascinating.
Yeah, I think that this is one of the great benefits of using technology, because in places where churches might need to be canceled, you don't need to cancel your services. You and I and all of us will be able to still preach and still be able to give the message to the congregation. I mean, I think that in those sorts of contexts, I would encourage Christians to engage through social media in substantial ways. I mean, just comment about the fact that you're there, that you're watching, that you're listening. Encourage other people, respond with joy and warmth to other people that are engaging and watching and participating. And that can actually also help the sermon, the service, have a broader reach and reach more people and be accessed by more people who may themselves be in their homes wondering where there's hope.
I read a paper yesterday about, you know, social media usually is used or online is used to announce something or to be a spectator to something. And this is an opportunity to use it as a vehicle for community.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is an extraordinary community gathering point. And if people are intentional about it, then it does exactly that. We can gather our community, but how easy it is for our community to reach out and bring people into the community over social media in this time when maybe we're not going to be able to gather together.
We've been praying for renewal and revival in America, in the world. Wouldn't it be fascinating if this is what the Lord is going to use in order to bring about the renewal of people's lives in Jesus Christ because they're afraid, because they're searching. And then we have this witness that is going viral, so to speak, in the process.
Yeah, we're going to have to think of a different word for that, right?
We hope this goes viral.
Yeah, we hope this goes
viral. I'm hoping
not bananas. We hope this just goes bananas.
We'll start a new trend.
We want this to go viral, but I hope I'm not viral.
Guys, I got a question for you, and I'm going to put you on the spot because we haven't prepared this thought. There is, in the last 24 hours in my world through social media, I'm going to overstate it, hyper-Christians, those who are more sensational about Bible prophecy and, that person out there that's saying it's the end of the world,
this
is the second coming. Let's talk about that as real and honest as we can.
We don't know. That's what Jesus said. We don't know the day or the hour. And we ought to always be yearning for his appearance. We cry out, Maranatha. But we shouldn't use this as kind of because it feels manipulative in a way that, so what does that mean? How does that change your life right now? And we need to be grounded in reality, and we have to deal with life as it is. And we ought not to use that as an escape to deal with today.
I would also say that, to answer my own question, would be, it goes back to our understanding of scriptures, that all of scripture should verify itself. So one danger would be a person to pick one verse out of Revelation and say, there it is, see, it's the end of the world.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. We're supposed to live with expectation of the Lord's return every day. And so sometimes we can become desensitized to that and not believe that he's coming soon and to not pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. It's also inappropriate for us to state that we know the time or the hour, because Jesus made it clear that no one knows the time or the hour. And so I think that if this resensitizes us to the fact that Christ will return, then that's a good thing. If it makes people start predicting the day and the hour, that's a bad thing.
Run. Run for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
What about the prayer aspect? What should our prayers look like?
We need to pray for our leaders and for the medical community, because there is no clarity. What is obvious, based upon all the different guidance given by everybody, is that we're still trying to get our head around what is going on, and we need wisdom and we need leadership at the highest level, and we need to pray that it happens and that we have real clarity about what's going on.
We need to pray that people trust Jesus. This is one of the things we should be praying for all the time. We need to pray that we trust in him and other people trust in him. One of the things that you said, Ron, I totally agree, is that in times like this where it feels so uncertain, we're not sure where to turn, I pray that people would turn to the rock, to the one who is the same yesterday and today and forever. I pray that people will trust in the Lord Jesus. I think that we should pray in ways that are not selfish, thinking very much about our neighbors and our communities, making sure that the prayer isn't just for me, that I would be safe, or that those right. that I know would be safe, but that God would make use of us to make sure that those who are around us would have that which they would need, you know, physically and yes. materially, to be able to continue on and survive in the midst of all of this.
To love our neighbor as ourself.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no doubt about it. In terms of the, let's just say, I'm kind of worst case scenario, that the government does something that says, okay, everybody for the next 14 days has to stay home. What should that look like? Should that be, you know, should we access what, you know, I mean, you can waste that time in front of a TV the entire time, or you can, but what can we help ordinary people think through that? Like, what should we be doing if the government said for 14 days, you can't leave your house?
I mean, some of that sounds really nice.
I call mini sabbatical.
Netflix. A little bit nice.
Netflix.
To spend 2 weeks with the family. I think that, I mean, you need to use it to rest and to recover. I mean, I think that's one of the things that's really necessary. I think that you can use the time for more prayer. I think that you can use the time. One of the things I think that we're going to need to do as pastors is to make sure that we're using technological means to continue yes. to check on people within the congregation. Well,
like Faith Church is thinking that if that were to happen. I just came out of a meeting early this morning where we would probably post a live video on social media every day, a devotional update, prayers to be prayed for,
yeah, I think this is really important. I think this is really good. And again, I mean, I think that Christians should just make joyful use of those means to try to promote comfort and peace and trust in the Lord God, and to seek to care for other people, within their community.
And if that took place, think about that. Moms with and dads that'll be home with their kids, don't waste time. Don't just sit in front of the TV. Certainly use Netflix and find the movies that you haven't watched in a long time you wanted to watch.
Yeah.
But also think that this could be the heightened moment in their children's memory for the rest of their life. They'll remember these dates saying, I loved that. We were
right.
together.
Right.
We ate together. We made meals together. We watched a movie together. We played games.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point that, you know, my kids are younger. Your kids are young, Derek. Mm-hmm. You have grandkids,
yep.
and you know, we need to be agents of joy for our kids. If we bring anxiety and panic to them, it's of no help. It does
right.
nothing good. And we have an opportunity to be presence of peace and joy so that they can. I was telling my son yesterday, Sawyer, that, you know, you're going to remember this the rest of your life
yes.
as such a unique experience, and you're going to tell your kids and grandkids about it. And I want them to remember it as a moment in which they were with family and with the Lord.
I think it should be prayer. I think families, because you can cook when the fire's hot, every day, Ron, you and your four boys and Amy should be at one point in the family room on your knees all praying.
Yep.
I mean, they'll remember the rest of their life. Pray for the sick. Pray for our country. Pray. I mean, these could be the richest and most beautiful times ever. And then my heart breaks for the widow who's at home.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got to think about ministering to that. That's where, Ron, you said earlier, we need to run to them, not
yep.
from them.
Right.
It's really important.
Because they're facing a lot of fears that we're not.
And I think, I mean, to be clear, run to them in ways like giving them a call. I think that potentially exposing them to the virus, running to them in those sorts of ways would be not good. I think that, I think running to them in a way that, that says, hey, I'm here because I'm calling you. And if you need something, I will run out and I will give it to you and I will make sure that you have it. I don't want to unduly expose you to anything.
Good medical advice. I think the other thing too, that someone said to me yesterday when Ron and I were in meetings in Colorado, is they said that you have to remember sometimes seniors won't have the ability technologically to live stream yet. Part of the deacon move may have to be go there. Just say, here's your phone. I'm going to give you 3 steps on how to be able to worship.
I'm writing that down. That's really good.
Yep. And, you know, one of the things that seniors struggle with is loneliness anyway. And, you know, if someone were to get the virus and they're older, they're quarantined. And we have to find ways of being present relationally as a church so that no one is suffering alone.
That's right.
Well, you guys, as any kind of like closing thought that you have, you don't have to, but I mean, closing thought on how ordinary Christians like ourselves need to think about this.
I hope that in some way this might break our connection to the entertainment and consumption culture at a time where people are going out to eat less often because of the fact that we don't want to be exposed to large crowds, at a time where professional sports are no longer going to be taking place. I think that it's a good opportunity for us to break our addiction to just consumption and entertainment, and to give ourselves entirely for the life of the world, to pray for others, to genuinely care about our communities and our families. I would hope that God would make use of this to that end.
That's great. How about Ron, any thoughts?
Yeah, all shall be well.
Cool, yeah.
And trust the Lord, and he will be your protector, and he will do good.
Amen. Well, on behalf of Derek and Ron, myself, we really enjoyed our first episode together, and we urge you as ordinary Christians like us to love God and love one another. God bless.
Amen.